You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Hayden Porteous produces a priceless display to win the D plus D Real Czech Masters.
It meant the world to me. I'd really been struggling over the last, I would say, year. And to get the second win under my belt and, you know, start to feel as if I belong, it's a big step in the right direction, and I need to just carry on doing what I'm doing.
We'll speak exclusively to the South African who edged out Lee Slattery on a thrilling final day in Prague.
To finish second this week, it is great, you know, but I think to shoot 73 in the last round and to lose by two, that's going to be tough to take. But, you know, I've been in this position before and won twice, so everything balances itself out, they say.
We'll look back at the best of the action and also preview one of the most popular events on the European Tour, the Omega European Masters. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by two-time European Tour winner Jamie Spence, who also has a 60 in his back pocket from this week's venue up in the mountains in Switzerland. Welcome back, Jamie.
Ah, thanks, Rob. Yeah, nice to be here. Good time of the year. Great golf in the autumn. We've got lots to look forward to coming up.
Yes.
Final series and all that.
Well, Czech Masters is important for more than one reason this year.
Yes, Ryder Cup started this week, so the journey continues, although it's really the bigger events where you're going to make the bulk of your cash, so we don't really need to look at the rankings probably until we've been to Dubai DP World Championship, I'd say. After that, sort of starting to take shape.
Remember years ago when the Football League kicked off, even before it was the Premiership, no one produced a table after week one of which team was leading or was the top team in the Prem. We're going to do that this week.
They are now.
We're going to do that this week because they do it now in football. We're going to do the top eight automatic qualifiers from week one.
But it used to be Switzerland used to start the Ryder Cup.
That's
points, right.
Right?
And that was always one of our bigger events. So actually, it did actually mean something. You wanted to get off to a really good start. So all you can do is win.
All you can do is win. And of course, the finishing last event will be Denmark next year.
Yeah, Thomas Bjorn's home club, Silkeborg, in Denmark.
And he's the captain.
Yeah, fantastic.
Couldn't write it, could you?
No, couldn't. No.
Just couldn't write it.
Great.
Czech Masters, difficult week. The weather wasn't great.
No, it wasn't. Unusually, I was there 2 years ago doing on course, and it was baking hot. It was in the mid to late 30s, believe it or not. It was so hot. You were there as well, I remember. But not this week. It was windy, bit of wet weather to deal with. Pull people off the golf course because of that. So, yeah, a lot to contend with.
Yeah, so the players getting used to coming on and off the golf course. But in the end, after three rounds, which took some time to play, it was Lee Slattery who had a two-shot lead going into the final day.
Yeah, he played well, Lee. 65 round two really set him up. Followed that with a 67 in round three as well, a two-shot lead. Playing some good stuff, and he needs a good week. He really needed a big week as well. Not had a great season. In fact, that's the theme of the whole leaderboard, to be honest with you. A lot of guys are searching for their playing rights for next season, really. So, yeah, it was a good last day.
Well, Hayden Porteous, a winner last year on tour, and, well, no form really coming into the week, but found himself after a couple of birdies in the first two holes alongside Slattery.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? How you would have picked those two guys out from the field at the start of the week? We just wouldn't. I mean, Porteous played well in Denmark, best week of the year, actually, sixth there. So he was coming in here. He's obviously found something out there, maybe did some work with his coach or whatever, and came here firing. And you could say the same about a number of players. Tom Lewis has been playing. He's finished third. He's been playing some good stuff as well.
A talented boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, so you can say that about a lot of the guys down there.
But you can.
Porteous is another one coming off the, you know, the South African production line, really. Young man, finding his way. He's already won twice at a very early age. He's only 23. So, yeah, he looks a real strong player.
Lee Slattery started with six pars, so a steady start, fireworks.
Start. No, but it's a good start. You think 13 under par one, you know, he probably, if he'd have shot two under par, in fact, if he'd have broken par, he'd have won on the scores. But it wasn't an easy day. I think 67 was the best score yesterday.
That was Tom Lewis.
Yeah, Tom Lewis. So, again, it was pretty windy yesterday.
Slattery birdied seven, then he bogeyed eight. So it was kind of toing and froing, really, between him and Porteous.
Yeah, well, it was made three twos yesterday, Lee. I hope he joined the twos club yesterday. He'd got a few vouchers out of the shop as well as his, 111,000 euros. But Porteous played some good stuff on the back nine as well. It became a matter of a sort of a match play, really, between the two.
Tom Lewis posted his score early, so he came through the field to post 10 under par, but that never really looked like it was going to get a chunk of a playoff.
No. Tom was going to beat that. I think Tom knew that, but yeah, to finish tied third, really good week for Tom with the Swede, Pontus Wiedergren.
Into the back nine, and Slattery had a great tee shot at the par 3 13th, got another one of those twos that you were talking about.
Long par threes, by the way. Yeah. Bob, that's a long par three, that 13th. I think you had a rescue in there.
Rescue and then hold the putt, and then Porteous hold a big one on the next, and then Slattery bogeyed the 15th after finding the bunker off the tee.
Tough hole, 15th. Yeah. Long par four.
Yeah, it's an interesting finish, no doubt about it. And then Porteous put his tee shot on the green at the par 3, 16th to tap in range, but Slattery rolled home a 12-footer, and it looked like then he might just have enough to edge it.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. Great tee shot by Porteous on 16. Well, good tee shot by Slattery as well. That's a difficult little par 3 surrounded by the water there. So then 17's a narrow little par 4, and it all came down to the last hole.
And Lee gave it away?
No, I don't think he gave it away. He's one behind on a difficult hole, playing the last, made 5. There'll be a number of fives on that hole. It's not an easy hole. So Porteous parred the last to win by 2.
And second win on tour.
Yeah, already. Won last year, won the Joburg Open, which is where they start, don't they? These South African players come out and tour. They start on that. They're quite lucky that they can start that early season playing in Joburg and Leopard Creek and South African Opens and really find their feet in the world of golf. And invariably, that's where they start to win. Schwartzel's won a number of his events in South Africa, so has Richard Sterney and Louis, and following in their footsteps, isn't he?
Because our players are so well-travelled now, our players, as in European Tour players, what gives the South Africans an advantage down there when everyone really kind of knows what the conditions are?
Familiarity. They play the courses a lot. Plus, you're playing on different grasses. When you play in Joburg, you're playing at a ridiculous altitude. The ball goes an absolute mile. That takes some getting used to. And it's in the middle of their summer. We're coming out of our winter. Obviously, guys are going down and maybe having a little bit of a break after the end of the season. So, they've got a lot in their favour.
They have a lot of, what's the word, when you have different generations. You know, you've got the Elses and the Goosens, then you've got the Sterneys and the Schwartzels and the Louis Oosthuizens. Then behind them, you've got the Brandon Stones and the Hayden Porteouses. They seem to have a bit of
Dean
a conveyor
Burmester.
Belt.
Dean Burmester's playing. It just seems one generation inspires the next. I mean, Retief Goosen and Ernie.
They were the trailblazers, really.
Yeah, they were. They inspired Charles and Louis and Richard Stern, and likewise, these three are inspiring the next golden generation. They just seem to produce so many good players. Well, obviously, you've got great courses down there, and you got the weather as well to play all year round, so that helps.
And the funny thing is, Gary Player is still inspiring all of them.
Well, he would, wouldn't he?
They all talk. Ethic. Even the young kids talk about Gary Player.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you look up to Gary? The amount he worked on his game and his fitness and his passion for golf, and yeah, someone to look up to.
Yeah. When you look at the great players, in the end, you can't fudge it, can you? You just have to say they are legends because of what they've achieved in the game.
Yeah, and it's been continuous, hasn't it? I mean, Ernie, I played quite a bit with Ernie when he first came over, and Retief, two fantastic players who went on to win majors, and then look at Louis, what Louis's done, and Charles as well. So, yeah, just seem to be able to produce it all the time. I think the fact that Joburg in the winter, their winter climate is so nice to play golf in all
true,
year long.
True.
I think that's got to help.
When all those years ago, back in the early 80s, when our tour was basically the start of April to the end of September, start of October, then you've got the whole winter with nothing to do. There is no European tour. So, you had to go and find some way to keep your game sharp. Your choices were Africa or South Africa. And
you went to South Africa?
No, I did both. I went to the Safari Tour and I also went to South Africa. And the courses in South Africa and the way they had their tour organised then, it was terrific.
Yeah, and they still got a very strong, thriving home tour, which helps produce the players. And we've got the Challenge Tour over here, but that Sunshine Tour for the South African players is a real strength.
Well, Hayden Porteous certainly is a product of that and has now won twice on the European Tour. Some social media reaction from Brandon Gracie said, "Congrats on a great win, bud. All that hard work paying off. Happy for you. Hashtag winner." Dylan Fratelli said, "Congrats, Port Dog." And we'll ask him what that means. "So proud of you." And Lee Slattery, who just lost out to Hayden, said, "Great win, pal. Enjoyed the battle. I'll get you next time." Hayden on the phone right now, somewhere in Switzerland. A fantastic win for you.
Yeah, you know, words can't explain it right now. You know, when you went on the tour, you know, it doesn't really settle in until, you know, a couple of days later and you realise, you know, exactly what it all means. And right now everything seems like it's just happening quite quickly. You know, obviously, you know, it's quite a busy life that we live, and I think when I get to the hotel in the next few hours and stuff and just think about, you know, what's happened over the last 4 days, it's really going to hit home. And, you know, to have, you know, probably the hardest 9 months of my professional career and you know, to do this just feels amazing.
What does port dog mean?
Port dog, it was actually a name given to me at school at first, and it caught on from there, and then evolved into the potato. So Dylan's got a bit of catching up to do on what my nickname's changing to. So, you know, also it's a pretty good nickname, and hopefully it just sticks a little bit more.
So, Hayden, you went out in 3 under par, great start, and then you bogeyed 10 and 11 yesterday. What did you say to yourself going to the 12th tee? You have to have a word with yourself, no doubt.
Yeah. You know, I look back on the highlights, and, you know, they caught me, you know, basically just tapping myself on the chin, trying to, you know, lift up my chin and say, you know, chin up. You know, I had two choices walking onto the 12th. You know, I could have, you know, easily just clung on to the last two holes. You know, they weren't really the best that I'd played all week, and could have pondered about that, or, you know, could have just dug deep and fought my way through that back nine.
You talked about in your interviews about going to your stock shot. What is that shot?
Well, you know, I started to lose my swing, I would say, midway through the third round. I started to really battle with a hard pull. And then, you know, sometimes that happens on the golf course, and you need to make alternative actions to try and get it around the golf course in the least amount of golf shots. So, you know, I just started backfooting it a little bit and, you know, closing the club face and trying to really hold it off. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's not great in terms of what it looks like, but, you know, it got me around, and, you know, I hit some really decent shots on that back nine, you know, to make two birdies in the last five holes around, you know, quite a tough stretch and quite a tough finish. It was more than what I was looking for. I must say, a very nervy round, and Slats, you know, hats off to him. He played some really good golf. He just let off a few soft ones, and, you know, things didn't really go his way. But, you know, when I hit it on the rough on 15 and caught a pretty decent lie, you know, sometimes you got to look at it and say, you know, that when it's your week, it's your week. And, you know, when you have these sort of breaks, you got to take them. And, you know, I did that.
Now, what about you? Great shot into 16. You probably think of that for a long time. But what were you thinking of on the last tee? One shot in front, tough hole, water. What are your thoughts on that last hole?
Yeah, I mean, you know, standing on that tee box, you know, it was probably one of the tee shots that I was worried about. And again, you know, I talk about choices. You know, you have two choices. You either come out of the golf shot and you know, end up making six, or just commit to it and do what I did, you know, over the past 71 holes, just swing it and trust your DNA and trust yourself to pull off the shot, and that's what I did.
I seem to remember, after your great win, this is, I'm not talking about now, but I seem to remember in my sort of golfing memory, you going into a water hazard somewhere and stripping off. Was that you?
Yeah, I'm never going to live that one down, especially with that terrible shirt tan, but that was... I had to do it twice in 9 holes at the Chuane Open in 2016. I got a little bit of stick from the boys back at home, and actually from the boys on the tour as well. But, you know, to save a shot it's always worth it.
Well, you certainly made an impression on Rob, Hayden, that's for sure. Now, what about your heroes as you were growing up? Who did you look up to? I've got to think it's got to be Ernie.
Yeah, Ernie's always, you know, always going to be up there with my role models, as well as, you know, Tiger Woods. You know, he's...
Have you played with Ernie at all? You must have played with him a bit.
No, I've never played with him. But, you know, we get along very well. You know, he's always got loads of time for the South African boys. And, you know, it's always nice to pick his brain and, you know, understand everything that he's gone through as a golfer, because, you know, everybody looks at his, you know, illustrious career, and people don't understand that, you know, he's also had some seriously tough times out there. And that's why you got to listen to, you know, the Hall of Famer in the game.
Now, you got to be careful, Hayden, because you haven't really celebrated, and you're going up to where it's 5,000 feet above sea level. The air's very thin. And before you, many generations ago, the Simon Hobb days and the Tertius Classens, you know, a few beers up in the village there in Cronsoucier, only takes a couple to go over the edge. You just be careful when you're celebrating.
Yeah, I will. It's, I must say, I've had my fair share of practice up in Joburg. Definitely not the same altitude, but definitely enough to make you feel a bit funny after a couple. But I'll be looking after myself and making sure that I just slow it down a little bit.
So you're confident of following up this victory in Czech with another one up in the mountains?
Yeah, that would be, you know, the most ideal situation. Obviously, you know, I can't get ahead of myself. I need to do what I've been doing over the past 6 months or so, just, you know, one step at a time, 1% every day. You know, you just want to grow as a player just continuously and one shot at a time, as I said. And, you know, hopefully by the end of the week I can churn out another good result. But I definitely need to sort out this little pool that I've got in the bag. And then it'll definitely make me feel a little bit better going into the tournament.
Hayden, thanks very much for taking time out to talk to us on the Race to Dubai show. Enjoy the train journey up to Cronsoucier. Have a great week up in the mountains and we'll see you very soon.
Thank you very much, mate. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to hear from Hayden, obviously pumped with his performance last week. And, you know, if you're playing well, keep going. Don't take a week off. Play the next week and see if you can do it again. He did register 21 birdies and one eagle to win the D+D Real Czech Masters. He had to play 33 holes on Saturday as well, so he's a fit boy because of bad weather. It's the fifth win by a South African on the European Tour this season after Brandon Stone, Darren Fickart, Dean Burmester and Dylan Fratelli. And he's now 61st on the Race to Dubai, just outside qualification for the season-ending DP World Tour Championship. So, Jamie, going in the right direction.
Yeah, he is. Bogeyed 10 and 11, he just said he lost his swing a bit, but the sign of a champion is someone who can pull it together and find something. He said he went to a stock shot.
I like that stock shot.
Yes, you need something to go to. You don't hear that
talked about too much.
Yeah, you can't always hit the flashy shots on the 300-yard drives. You've got to have something you can rely on. He found that and, made a couple of birdies on 14 and 16 and that won him it.
And a really good par at the last, obviously, just to make sure there were no mistakes coming.
That's like a birdie.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, that's Porteous. Let's hear from the runner-up, Lee Slattery, who had mixed emotions after failing to get over the line.
They tucked a lot of pins away today, so we couldn't be as aggressive. You can sort of tell that from the scoring, really. No one went really deep today, and it was perfect conditions. Obviously bitterly disappointed to have lost, but Hayden's a good friend, so it always makes it a little bit easier. You know, there's been a lot going on at home, as we all know, you know, with the baby and moving house and everything else. So to come into this week and finish runner-up is a great achievement. And I'll always look back at that 7-under par second round as one of the best rounds of golf I've ever played in those conditions. And, I think to finish second this week, it is great. But I think to shoot 73 in the last round and to lose by two, that's going to be tough to take. But, I've been in this position before and won twice, so everything balances itself out, they say.
Which do you think is greater, Jamie, the delight of finishing second or the disappointment of not winning?
Well, disappointment is the first emotion, I'd say. You don't get many chances to win on the European Tour unless you're a top player. So, yeah, but he'll look back. He's not had a great season, Lee, and this will kickstart it. As he said, he's got a lot going on in his life off the golf course.
Must be some relief in there as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I spoke to him about 5-6 weeks ago, sat down with him, and, you know, he was saying he's struggling with his game. He's, you know, just not coming together. Well, it all came together this week, especially in that second round, as he said. So moving forward, there's a lot of guys in his situation this time of year who looking for something, and he's found it. So,
yeah. It all gets a bit squeaky now, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, you want to win. Obviously, the win gives you the exemption as well, but you want to earn a few quid as well.
Yeah. Life exists outside the fairways.
Does it?
It does. It does. You have to sort of, like you say, get a few quid.
Not when you're in the middle of it.
No, not when you're in the middle of it, but you do have to look at your bank manager every now and again and think, have I got in there and can I afford this?
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Family coming along and so on and so forth. Pressure. Another Englishman, Tom Lewis, finished tied third after shooting the lowest round of the day, a 5-under par 67.
I think at the beginning of the day I would have taken 5-under. It was windy, the clouds were there, you never knew what was going to happen. But I played solidly today. I don't think I dropped a shot and I would have happily taken a Sunday without dropping a shot.
Is this form you've showed today been coming?
Yeah, it's been there for a long time, more so than a year. But my downfall is that I don't really trust myself enough, my instincts, and this week I did that a little bit more, and hopefully I can take that going forward and hole putts like I did this week, and you never know what's to come.
Do you still feel like there's a lot to come from Tom Lewis, Jamie?
Yeah, he's probably not producing his best golf all the time. He obviously a very talented player, as a lot of people out there, but he's just saying he doesn't trust himself fully out there, and that just comes with confidence, really. Just keep doing it. So if he just keeps carrying on how he's doing, I think he might surprise himself.
How good a ball striker is he?
Yeah, he's excellent, Rob. Yeah. I mean, he's had troubles around the greens, but he seems to have got over that.
Good.
So, yeah, excellent young ball. I mean, he came out and toured, didn't he, with a bang in Portugal.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to follow that up, though, really. I think a lot was expected of him. But he seems like he's over all that, and he's coming to terms with life as a professional golfer.
Well, he features in the top 10 of the D plus D Real Czech Masters, which you're now going to tell us, Jamie.
Yes, he certainly does. There was a logjam at ninth place. Lee Westwood, Callum Shinquin, Matteo Manassero, MLV Vera, Scott Henry. And then in fifth, we had Jason Scrivener, Eddie Pepperell, James Morrison and Oscar Lengden. Tied third was Tom Lewis and Pontus Wiedergren. Runner-up, Lee Slattery, and our winner was Hayden Porteous from South Africa.
Now, fancy race to Dubai tips. Ewan Murray went, in our absence, by the way, went for Matt Fitzpatrick, who finished tied 54th. And Bradley Dredd, you had two picks, tied 38th. But Dan Roebuck was in spectacular tipping
inspiring.
Form.
He was inspiring.
I mean, Dan Roebuck, he doesn't just come in here, look at the list and pick two names. He researches.
Studies.
He looks at how many times this player has played this golf course, this tournament, recent runs, top tens, the whole lot.
Research.
And he came up He came up with Renato Paratori, the young Italian buck missed the cut.
Missed the cut.
And Wade Ormsby from Australia.
Played really well the previous week.
There we are. Who missed the cut.
Missed the cut.
So Dan Roebuck, who's always pleading poverty, we now know that it's true. He has no money.
Although it's very hard to pick anybody in the top half a dozen, wasn't it, last week?
It's very hard to pick both players that are going to miss the cut, though. That's quite hard to do.
That takes talent.
That takes talent.
It does.
You know, we've got to give it to Dan. I mean, it's a fair effort. Renato and Wade let him down badly. So Ewan Murray, top tipster. Matt Fitzpatrick, 54th. Bradley Dredge, 38th. Ha! We laugh at those, Jamie, after our tips this week. We laugh at those. In the fancy race to Dubai game, Elizabeth H has retaken the lead at the top of the overall standings, while Lewis Davidson scored the most points from the Czech Masters. Meanwhile, in our Race to Dubai show mini-league, Neil Morrison still leads the way, but fellow listener Julian Harcourt got the most points last week. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their fantasy three to watch at this week's Omega European Masters. So the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, no change at the top, Jamie?
No change at the top, and three of the top 10 are playing in Switzerland. Number 10 is Wiesberger, he's there in Kron. Rory McIlroy at 9. Ross Fisher, he's there in Kron as well. Justin Rose at 7. Francesco Molinari at 6. Alex Noren, defending champion in Switzerland this week, he's at 5. Cabrera Bayo at 4. John Rahm, going really well in America, he's at 3. Sergio at 2. And Tommy Fleetwood, considerably ahead at number 1.
And remember to go to the European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from the Czech Masters. Now, in other news, after victory at the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation, John Rahm has been named the Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for July. The Spaniard, meanwhile, has also announced his participation at his home event in October, the Andalucía Valderrama Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation, his partner in the Ryder Cup in France. Just a guess.
You think?
Just call me. It's a wild guess.
Yes, well.
It's a wild guess.
Yeah,
Sergio and John Rahm.
Going out on a limb there,
what
Rob.
What a pairing that'll be. And Birger Hafthorsen has claimed his maiden European Challenge Tour title after a 7-shot win at the Cordon Golf Open in France. The 41-year-old didn't even have to hit a ball on the final day as the tournament was reduced to 54 holes due to bad weather. On the senior tour, gorgeous Philip Golding has won his second title of the 2017 season after victory at the Travis Perkins Masters at Woburn Golf Club. The Englishman fired a final round 2 under par 70 to finish 5 under par and win by 1 stroke. And on the PGA Tour, the 2017 Dell Technologies Championship is a Monday finish because of Labor Day in the United States. So we obviously cannot give the result right now. And that also means no change to the top 10 in the world rankings. However, Jamie, we do know that Rory missed the cut.
Yeah, he did. Just not playing that well at the moment. His driver let him down. He said he was missing it left and right, which is never a good combo. We know what a great driver of the ball Rory is when he plays well. I mean, when he drives the ball well, he can just take any course apart. But wasn't to be.
Well, let's hope he, I mean, he, there was talk he might take the rest of the year off.
I don't know, we're looking for excuses, aren't we?
Yeah.
But he just needs to play better. Yeah, play more. Get over his injuries and play, but yeah, play more. And he'll be fine.
So let's see how he gets on. I assume he's fit enough to play next week, and he will be playing. Get a bit of golf under his belt, that's what he needs. So, to this week's event on the European Tour, and it's the Omega European Masters, high up in the mountains, 5,000 feet above sea level, Jamie, in a very pretty place to play golf.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot, sort of the St Andrews of Europe, really, where you can walk around the town to the golf course. It's just got a great feel about it. It's sort of a carnival time there when you're there. The golf course used to produce a lot of low scoring. They Seve redesigned it and made it much more difficult. It's been redesigned a little bit more since then. So it's not that easy anymore, I've got to say. But at altitude, when the sun comes out, the ball goes a long way and the guys can still shoot some scores, as we've seen over the last few years.
You can shoot some scores around there. Yeah. My worst score as a professional was around there when the course hadn't been Sevified.
What was that?
When it was the resort course. What do you think I shot for round one?
The thing is, when it was cold, it actually played a long way up there.
The weather was perfect. It was a perfect day.
I'm trying to find excuses.
It was a perfect. It can be like summer up there. Okay. It can be 25 degrees and it's beautiful.
My worst score as a professional
was on that golf course.
85.
You give me too much pleasure.
What?
Higher, Bruce, higher.
Higher?
Yes.
How can you shoot higher around there?
I know. On the old course, on a nice day.
Crikey. 88.
Nope, still too low.
Oh, Robert. You got to tell me, I can't keep going.
90.
Did you shoot 90?
I shot 90 with 27 putts.
Oh, my goodness.
27 putts. I was mid-coach.
Driver was working.
It wasn't. I was mid-coach and it was coming sideways.
It is narrow down around there, a few holes, and if you're not... If you don't know how far you're hitting it with your irons, you can find some trouble.
Yeah. 90-73, just missed
pathetic.
The cut. It was pathetic.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Yeah.
You blamed your coach, though. I like that.
I didn't blame my coach. Yeah. No, I blame myself. Complete lack of aptitude and skill. Mm. It's 90 around there. Before Seve tinkered with it.
Yeah, well, you should have given up there on the spot, really.
Well, I probably should have done, yeah. But I pressed on.
Yeah, well, you did well.
Oh, yeah. Always a place that players enjoy going to, though, because it's unique.
Well, I think the reason that is you don't have to drive anywhere. You haven't got to worry about getting in a car. You can just walk to the golf course
and you bump into people in the town centre. It's got a great vibe. Yeah. And when it's sunny there, you get good crowds. It's a really great tournament. And Alex Noren seems to love the place.
Doesn't he just? Yeah, he plays really well around there. I'm trying to think whether I should tip him or not, but I don't know. He just plays super. And Thomas Bjorn's playing his one a couple of times around there. It seems to suit. Some players seem to love it more. Brett Rumford seemed to love it more than others.
Yeah, so, horses for courses.
Yeah, it is.
You only won it once, though, didn't you?
I only won it once.
Yeah, but with 60 in the last round.
60 last round, yes.
That beat me by 30.
That did. Yes. Yeah, we should have had a game that day.
That's almost nine holes.
Yeah, that is a lot, yeah.
Give us a sense of the field, please, Jamie.
Well, our Race to Dubai leader, Tommy Fleetwood. I forgot about him. He's playing. French Open champ, Abu Dhabi. So he's looking to win that Race to Dubai. Probably will.
He's a million in front.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? But there's a lot of big tournaments coming up.
Yeah, there are.
So, you know, we never know with that. Wiesberger is playing.
But the guys that want to catch him have got to make a million plus over what he makes.
Yeah, they have.
It's difficult.
It's going to be difficult. Yeah. It'd be nice if we get a different winner of the... I mean, Rory's been the main man with Henrik Stenson and Sergio. How much is Sergio going to play to put pressure on Tommy? We're not sure. He's not playing there this week. Joost Luiten, Lee Westwood, Danny Willett. He's won here before. He's working with Sean Foley now, Danny. Matt Fitzpatrick's there. Luke Donald's making an appearance. Ross Fisher is playing. So, yeah, it's a good field. Always is a good field.
What sort of player? Is it a course that... I mean, you won, obviously, and there are long players that can reduce the par fives to nothing. Does it suit anyone? Has everyone got a chance around there?
You've got to hit the fairways. It's a good course, actually. And although you've got to be good with the wedge... holes like 5 and 6 and 7, very short par 4s. You've got to be careful. You can attack them, but it's easy to make a 5 on them as well. So you've just got to position your ball off the tee well and be strong with your wedge play in terms of distance control. Because if you do miss it in the wrong spot, especially with these new redesign, you're in trouble.
Is the 7th hole the most picturesque hole you've seen anywhere?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, have you? I mean, I can't.
No, I can't. I mean, from the tee, you look down the valley, and on a clear day, you can see it's better, probably 40, 50 miles.
And it's a better hole now than it ever was. I think the redesign, they've got it spot on now. There's a little bit of a
out of bounds on the right.
There's out of bounds on the right and through the green. The green's a decent size to hit now. So, yeah, it's a terrific hole.
Mm. So picking-wise, it's quite tricky because a lot of people playing here this week that could win, and a lot of stars from the Asian Tour playing as well?
Yeah, it's a co-sanctioned, so we've got the likes of Kiradek, Appy Barnrat, and We're a Chance making an appearance. I played with him the other week on the Seniors Tour. Incredible player.
Amazing player.
He is an incredible player
amazing
to watch.
Technique to watch. The putter, everything.
Unbelievable.
Everything.
Has a hand miles behind the ball. Yeah. Chipping. Great chipper.
Yeah.
Spins everything with a lob wedge. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's a mix of players. But I fancy a player who's played well this year. He's in the top 10 of the Race to Dubai. Ooh. And I saw him the other day. We had a little chat. Ross Fisher. Ross Fisher. I think he's on slightly under the radar. So I'm going to pick Ross.
Under the radar pick or your main
pick?
No,
he's my main pick.
Main pick, okay, main good, pick. Good.
Well, top 10 in the Race to Dubai. He's got to be my main pick.
Well, he could be. Depends
and who's your main pick?
Tommy Fleetwood.
You always pick Tommy.
Well, I like picking Tommy.
Every week you pick Tommy.
Yeah, I like Tommy. Picking Tommy. I think he's in a good place. He's an Everton fan. He thinks his team are going places this year.
Well,
I think
can't have everything,
he's leading by a million. I think he's in good shape. And I think the course suits him.
I know he likes it there.
Yep.
That's for sure. And wouldn't put it apart. I think he'll win another event before the end of the season. And it could easily be here. If he wins here, it could be it, couldn't it? Another one keen to get in Ryder Cup as well.
Oh, the Ryder Cup race is now officially on for all those top players. And they'll be thinking about it. So there's your main one. Main thrust is Ross Fisher. Who's your backup?
Well, backup is a player that I think should have won it last year and lost in the playoffs. Scott Hend hits the ball a mile. You never know what you're going to get with Scott, but he's capable of some brilliant performances. So he's my pick.
He had a bad last hole, didn't he? 72nd hole was a bad
one. And the playoff wasn't good either. Hit the trees twice.
Yeah, and Richard Bland was in there in the mix as well.
Yeah, so he's my wild card.
Well, I'm going to go even wilder than that. Because Scott is not, you know, in the first throes of youth.
Experienced.
I'm going for uber experience in the form of Miguel Angel Jimenez.
They love him up there, you know.
They love him up there. He has a great...
He's a hero.
He's a hero. He's a great time. He can't spend a penny. He didn't spend a penny anyway, but he can't spend a penny up there. People pay for him to come here and come there because he's great fun. And I think he's going to break his
own record
that he owns already as being the oldest winner on the European Tour.
Tournament was that?
That, I think, was Hong Kong.
Correct.
I think
just
he's going to... I think he's going to break that up in the mountains in Switzerland. Oh. If Tommy doesn't win, of course.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, and good luck to you as well.
Thank you, Robert.
We can't do any worse than last week's tippers.
No, I hope
Dan
not.
Roebuck and Ewan Murray, hang your heads in shame. That's it for now. We'll review the events in Switzerland next week and also look ahead to the KLM Open in the Netherlands. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes as well. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for...
Ross Fisher and Scott Hend.
And myself, Robert Lee, has backed Miguel Angel Jimenez and Tommy Fleetwood. It's goodbye.